The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Bible teacher Christine Kane explains that our focus determines our vision as we face our giants in life.
And God said, I didn't ask you to look at yourself in your own eyes, I asked you to look at me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Make God bigger than your giants. Make God bigger than your circumstances. Make God bigger than your limitations. Make God bigger than your weaknesses. It's not about what you're not, it's about who He is.
Spending Wednesdays in the Word, next.
Well, you're kind. Thank you, and welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to share this time with you. Wednesday's in the Word, and we have a beautiful study Bible, and it's large print. I've emphasized this over and over. We have given away some fabulous parallel Bibles, several various translations together. And I told Betty, I said, you know, the print's so tiny. I mean, I'm not only having to have readers, I'm getting a magnifying glass, but this is not the case here. Because I told him, I said, I want people in the Word, but I want them to be able to read the Word. And so this is a fabulous Bible. What we're asking you to do is really pray for precious families and children who simply need something to eat. Would you believe that? And they're going to receive it because of God's love, and they're going to come to know God. But we're actually going to be able to save their lives. And we're sending the Bible to those of you who will help us. And I tell you what, in a little while, you're going to see something that's going to move you to the point, first of all, of concern and then joy because of what love can do. Christine Kane is teaching right now on your focus, and I love the title, Betty, Your Focus Determines Your Vision. And she says it's not the size of the giants that come against us, but the size of our God that really matters. Christine Kane, what a gift she is from God. Would you welcome her? Here she is, Christine.
Numbers 13, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving. Everyone say, which I am giving. Which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. And it goes through the list. It goes through from the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, son of Zakur, from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Horaj, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rufu, from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Zodi, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, son of Susi, from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali, from the tribe of Asher, Sethah, son of Michael, from the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, son of Voshbi, from the tribe of Gad, Gul, son of Maki. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. There's a reason I mention those names. You'll get it in a minute. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name of Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said this, go up through the Negev and onto the hill country, see what the land is like. Now, this is the land that God has already said, I'm giving it to them. Remember, we said that right in the beginning. God's already giving them. So Moses says, go and see what this land is like. And whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now, he wasn't saying, if the land is bad, God's not going to give it to you because He can't. If the people who live there are strong, God can't give it to you because God's not that strong. He's not saying if the cities are walled and not fortified, then God can't give it to you. He wasn't sending them in to say, if you think it's okay, then we'll be able to take that. The question was never if, it was how. Are we going to take the land? That's what this is like. God's already said He's giving it to us. It's giving it, it's a done deal. God's giving us the land. I want you to go in and see how we're going to take what God's already given us. But they turned a how into an if. That's what happened here. This is what we do. We think somehow, oh, God mustn't have known. that the city was fortified. God must not have known how big those giants are. Oh, God is taken by surprise by who's in government. Oh, God is so shocked by the legislation changes. Oh, he's in heaven having a meltdown. Poor God. That's how we treat him, because that's how they were about to treat him. So the Lord said, you know, I'm giving it to them. It's a done deal. Do you notice who he sent out? He sent out leaders. Go get 12 leaders of the 12 tribes, one each of the leaders. And the thing that I've found, it's often seasoned people that have seen God do the most miracles that end up saying God can't do miracles anymore. Isn't it amazing to me? Because these guys had seen the Red Sea part. These guys had seen manna from heaven. These guys had seen God do miracles. And look what's about to happen to them. That's what happened. So Moses said, go and see. Not if, but how. So then they come back. Let's just pick this up in verse 21. So they went up and they explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. And they went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshi and Talmiah, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut there. At the end of 40 days, so significant, they returned from exploring the land. Now check this out. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they're holding the fruit. They're holding the promise. How often do we do this? I've got the promise in my hand. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Yes, it's got in it what God said. Here it all is. But, oh, the body of Christ needs a buttectomy. But, we really do. We need to get our big fat butts out of the way. That's what we need to do right here. The people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all those Ites people live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. I'm holding the promise. God has already said, yes, you can have the promise. And as I'm holding it, as I've got it, all of a sudden I take off my glasses and I no longer see the promise that's right in front of my face, and I begin to talk about the giants. We do this every day. We do this every day. This is how cynicism, this is how you get weary in your faith walk. This is how you run out rather than running to the living water so that you can continue to have faith despite the disappointments, despite the challenges, because they're there, despite the storms and the trials. And why can some at 48 be full of faith and some be full of cynicism? Same church, same Jesus. Because some have said, oh no, I'm not focusing on that. Here's the fruit. Here it is. You're right. God, you said you've given us the milk and honey. Well, only two people felt this way. Because then scripture goes on, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Because he knew that doubt dies unborn if it's not spoken. So it's like, could you shut it up? In the original Hebrew. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We are well able. But the men, there we are again, the but. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we. This is after God had promised it. How many promises has God given us? And we get our eyes off the promise and we get our eyes onto the challenge. And we forget that it's God actually that wants to do it through us, not us. And we start saying, oh, no, no, it can't. Economically, it can't happen. Look, the doctor said it's incurable. The doctor said that it's terminal. Oh, no, that can't happen because financially, look what's going on. But. Oh, I know God promised, but. But. And off we go. And so he goes on and we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. Because that's what you start doing. When you're not a faith-filled Christian, and you start being a doubt filled, you want to make sure misery loves company. So you want to go and form your own company and make sure that you have your little, especially now with all our social media, we can just draw people to all our doubt and our negativity and insecurity, because we don't want to die in the wilderness by ourselves. We want to take a million people with us. It's awesome. And so it goes on. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. The land we explored devours those living in it. That's the land God promised them. Isn't it easy when you decide to not see the promise anymore, you can think the promise that God sent you is going to kill you. That's how you turn your God into a very harsh, judgmental God. So, oh no, he's going to devour my marriage. He's going to, if we get full on for God, if we serve him, what about my kids? What about this? What about that? We think the promise is going to devour us. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That subtle thinking comes in, that it's really just full of negativity. It's just full of doubt. It's just full of unbelief, because we've read this text. We know what happens to them. They die in the wilderness purely because of unbelief. So he goes on and he says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes and we looked so to them. Because however you see yourself is how others are going to see you and how you're going to see the world around you. See, they got their eyes off God onto themselves. Oh, I seem like a grasshopper in my own eye, so I am in them. I'm just a worm. I'm just a grasshopper. And God said, I didn't ask you to look at yourself in your own eyes. I asked you to look at me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Make God bigger than your giants. Make God bigger than your circumstances. Make God bigger than your limitations. Make God bigger than your weaknesses. It's not about what you're not. It's about who he is. It's never about what we're not. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. The spirit of faith says we are well able. I remember when we started A21, the experts, we had professional consultants that come and consult in the area of anti-human trafficking, and they said to us, don't start in Greece. Don't start in this region. It is impossible. It is impossible. And I remember I just had a prompting in my heart from the Holy Spirit that that's where we were meant to start. And I remember saying to them, we are well able. If God said it, then God will do it. Well, here we are, 6 years later, 10 countries, all those people in jail, all those girls rescued, so much awareness around the world because we are well able. It is about who God is. If God said it, God will do it. It is not about the size of our giants. It's about the size of our God. And some of you make the size of your giant bigger than the size of your God, bigger than the size of your God. You know, who has ever heard of Shemua? Who's ever named their child? Hands up if you know anyone or you have personally named your child Shemua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Amiel, Gadi, Sether, Nahibi, Gaul. Nobody. That's interesting to me. Nobody has named their child those names. Anyone really ever think about those guys? No. Because they were the naysayers, they were the critics, they were the cowards, they were the other 10. We should be talking about them because they were all selected. Joshua and Caleb were no more special than them. They were all selected in the same group. They were all leaders. They were all great. But the difference was that Joshua and Caleb followed the Lord God wholeheartedly and they stayed young in spirit. But what these guys do were they ended up dying of the plague. And they should have possessed the promise, and they never possessed the promise. They died of the plague in the wilderness because they did not believe God. How many people have heard of a human being called Joshua or Caleb? All of us, because that's who you name your children after. You don't name them after losers. You name them after winners. That's the bottom line. You name them after that. You see with the eye of faith. So if you focus on your fears and you focus on the giants, you'll say no when God says go. How big's your God? That's my question. That's why the psalmist says, hey, let's make him bigger. Let's magnify him. And how you make him bigger is you fix your eyes on Jesus, not on your circumstances, not on your lack, not on your fear, not on your insecurity, not on your doubt, not on this conflict. We fix our eyes on Jesus because when you do that, you make him bigger and you allow him to work on your behalf. My little girl, Catherine, used to sing a song when she came out of kids' church called My God Is So Big. Do you all remember that? It goes, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his. The rivers, the stars are his. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Yes! And you know, a kid, when they learn a new song, they feel compelled to sing it 1 million times. Or, you know, you're watching a video and they're like, again, mummy? I'm like, what, have you got amnesia? You know, so it's like again, again. And I remember Catherine was so getting into this, I wanted to turn around and say to her, really? Can you pick another song? And then, honestly, I felt like the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, Christine, if this is all your daughter ever knows about God, if this is all your daughter ever believes about God, do you think that might just be enough? Do you think it might be okay if she really believes that her God is so big, that her God is so strong, that her God is so mighty, that there is nothing her God cannot do? That's true. You know, if I had... this is what we all tend to do right here. And this is not rocket science, so don't freak out. It's okay. But, you know, what do you see on this? A dot. So you're all here and it's like this dot. So there's this huge piece of paper and a dot. And that dot could be anything. It could be currently a financial crisis, an emotional crisis, a relational situation, a sore small toe, you know, the new pair of shoes that you want, a spiritual issue. It could be something really of global importance or something that's just like this irritation, or it's just a dot. It's got your time. Now, the fact is, when I said to you all, what do you see, you say a dot. But the truth of the matter is, there's actually a whole lot more blue space than a dot. But we are so obsessed and so trained to look at the dots because the dots are screaming for our attention. And if you go, you know what, I might have a small issue with one of my children right now, but there's a whole lot of blue as well. There's a whole lot of places I'm not having issues and a whole lot of places that things are happening good. And we've got to train our minds to not look at the dots, but to look at the blue space. It doesn't ignore the dot, but it says, you are not getting all my focus. You are not everything that I'm going to focus on, because I'm going to focus on the blue space much more than those dots. I'm going to magnify God rather than the problem. I'm going to make God bigger than the giants. And I know that there is no problem that my God cannot solve. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. There is no prayer too big for God to answer. There is no disease that God cannot heal. There is no heart that God cannot mend. There is no relationship that God cannot restore. There is not one person that God cannot save. There is no chaos to which God cannot bring order. There is no anxiety to which God cannot bring peace. There is no disaster from which God cannot bring joy. There is no loss from which God cannot bring hope. There is no defeat from which God cannot bring victory. There is no death from which God cannot bring life. There is no suffering from which God cannot bring relief. There is no past that God cannot redeem. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no bondage that God cannot break. There is no need that God cannot meet. There is no enemy that God cannot defeat. There is no mountain that God cannot move. There is nothing, nothing my God cannot do. There is nothing, nothing my God cannot do.
Wow, that is powerful and captivating. Christine, you are really, really, really gifted. You know, I think if a person has a problem with a woman communicating, teaching, sharing the gospel, I don't quite understand that. But it's all right. But listen, you've got the anointing, the gifting, and the touch of God on your life. And I want to thank you for the way you bless us. And I want to say to all of you who are watching that we have an opportunity right now to literally remove some mountains, some incredible obstacles in people's lives. And we can literally speak to these mountains in love, and they will go away. And we hold the answer to a very serious need that you're easily going to be able to see and understand. And it's not too late for God to reveal Himself.
Time. It can be a formidable adversary. If we could turn back time, if we could have brought help sooner, we could have saved Julia. We could have rescued Abel. We could have fed Leo before it was too late. We've seen it too many times. Something our mission feeding program could have prevented. We can't turn back time. However, God has given us right now. And right now, you have the chance to fill these bowls here so these children don't end up here. Please take the time.
Or they could actually end up where Betty and I too often have seen too many. Long rows of graves, not very large, little children. And where we've been watching dig those graves. I know that the natural tendency is to look away. It's too painful. You know, I marvel at how I know people watch the little spots for the little pets. They just look so lonely. I mean, I understand everyone wanting to help them, and I think that's wonderful. I found, however, people sometimes will look at a little pet and be more moved than looking at a child. I don't want to believe that's ever the case with the viewers of Life Today, because I think when you see what Kyle Rogers, who grew up the son of one of our team members for so many years, Jeannie Rogers, that's her son Kyle, grew up with our daughter, our youngest daughter who is with Jesus. And she was a great influence on Kyle, he said so many times. That was a tremendous message Kyle gave us as a missionary himself. You see, what if, and you know, if we could back it up, but we have right now. And right now, Betty, can't back things up, but it can straighten things out, and it can give those children hope and life and future, and it can answer the heart cry of those mothers for their children that have often, many of them have already buried a child. Now they're at that malnutrition clinic, which is the last place. Most of them are not even able to get to the clinic. And we help furnish those clinics and give them supplies. But it's our feeding centers out in the areas that are suffering where we stop that pilgrimage to that place. Or that sense of desperation. In other words, what we do, this is where love, never failing, can be witnessed firsthand. Many of the children we started helping 25 years ago and saving their lives have been to college and graduated, and some of them are now college professors. And some of the countries have been totally revolutionized and changed in a positive way, like Mozambique. And the death cycle has been slowed so drastically that you don't hear the cry anymore. And they're beginning to become progressive. Please, please hear the heart cry, not only that missionary's voice, but hear the cry of those mothers saying, would you help my child? I want to remind you, this is our last week for mission feeding right now. And we've had a miracle matching gift, the largest we've ever had. $1.5 million to match what you give right now, to double it. If you could give $100 to help feed 10 children for the next months, you'd be feeding 20. It'd be double. 30 or 50 feeds 3 or 5. Now it'll be 6 or 10. Many of our friends are able to give $1,000 to feed 100. If you could do it now, you'd be feeding 200. Father, I pray there'd be a person watching that wouldn't go to the phone and make the largest gift of love they can make in Jesus' name. During this last week, this emphasis right now, would you go to the phone or go to lifetoday.org? Would you do that now? Take your bank card, use it like a check, make the largest gift. Give to give, not to get, give to give life. And watch what happens. Be a blessing, and you will see the blessing of God through your life on others in a beautiful flow. Please start that flow. We have some gifts for you, but you're giving the greatest gift, life, a chance at life, and people witnessing the love of God firsthand because you cared. Thank you for doing it.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $1.5 million matching gift challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be double to help save 10 children. $100 for 10 children will be double to help feed 20 children. And $300 for 30 children will be double to help feed and minister to 60 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a daily devotional with an inspirational music CD. With your double impact gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Larger Print Reference Bible. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 and request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
Well, Betty and I do pray that you will get the Bible and the devotion guide and the beautiful glass sculpture. And remember this, please, last week. And when we say that many lives, even thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, will be saved as a result of what you, our viewers, do today, remembering your gift will be matched, it'll be doubled, double impact. But this is the last week. And if you care enough to share, please do it today by either calling or going online and make the largest gift of love you can. It will save lives. It will make all the difference in this world and for so many for all eternity. Thank you. You know, I do want to remind you in the Christmas season of giving, this is also a very important time to make special year-end gifts, which will be so meaningful to you, and I'm grateful that it will, but it's going to mean so much to others, and it's going to be doubled. So consider that year-end gift coming right now, and I thank you for it.
By myself saying, God, where are you? Do you see this girl? Do you hear me? Are you real? Is this real?
Tammy Trent, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.